and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
All right, welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, with Mr. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Ron. Have you ever, like, just before you were to go on, you had this irresistible urge to sneeze?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's going on right now.
Uh-oh.
Well, here you go.
Give me a signal. I'll cut your mic there.
There you go. Well, this morning joining us is Heidi Thompson as well.
Good morning, everyone.
For being with us, you bet, on December 10th, Thursday, 2020. And I was just thinking, you know, 2 weeks from now is Christmas Eve, December 24. And this day here is the last live program we'll be doing at TCM for this year. We're doing pre-recorded for the balance of the year.
Right.
To the following two Thursdays, and the final one, which is, of course, Christmas Eve. I am recording with Steve on Monday, the gift of the Magi, the story of the gift of the Magi, and we'll choose some music, too.
Okay. Very good. Look forward to that.
Some garbage rock we can play along for Christmas Eve.
You know, garbage rock.
So, you know, Dennis, you only have a few weeks left to say 2020.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's kind of sad, isn't
2020.
It?
2020.
Yeah. 2021 just doesn't sound the same.
No. 2020.
There you go. Well, good morning. It is great to have you with us. We have gotten some really nice comments from clients in the last few days. A particular one from a friend who came in to see me said, Dennis, why didn't my own advisor tell me all this stuff? And I said, well, you know, that's why we're here. So I appreciate those kind comments always. They mean a lot as we continue in a very busy season for us. We were talking this morning before the show, Heidi, about the number of Roth conversions we've been doing.
Yes, quite a few. We have been talking about it on the show. So, but there's a lot of interest in that, and it's kept us quite busy here at the end of the year.
Ed sure Slott has. Will be proud.
Yes.
He would be proud. Ed, I think he's proud of us anyway. I know he's proud of us for sure.
There you go.
So you guessed it. Today we're talking about end-of-year planning notes. Heidi is going to be talking about New Year's resolutions. The current state of affairs, I wanted to say this before we begin, will not continue. They will not continue. And honestly, I need to say this to myself. They're not going to continue forever. So what do I say? You continue in your own planning. Take the control back. You and I have to continue to do the things that we can do with what we've been given and the knowledge and information that we've been gifted with to continue, whether it's buying a business, selling a business, making Roth conversions, whatever financial tactics or activities you might do, as well as, of course, family and all the rest. And it's interesting. I won't get into the political realm, but the exercise of control that's being exhibited, I'll just go ahead and get into politics, by some in leadership in Lansing is, as some would say, overdone. And I would agree with that. So, to the extent that you can still respect the rules and regulations that have been given, and maintain your own freedoms, go, okay? And that's about all I can say. This is a financial program, after all, is it not?
You know, what struck me over the years is with changes in administrations and laws, the financial planners, the investors on Wall Street, the attitude was almost apolitical. It's like, all right, just tell us what you're going to do, and we'll figure out how to work around it. You know, we just want to know
strategy.
Put your plan into place, and then let us take care of business here. We'll figure out how to get around it or work with it.
Yeah.
You know, not political. Just okay. We accept whatever the political climate is. We'll work within it or outside of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a babysitter when I was a boy. Yeah. You know, I don't need one now.
Oh well.
Okay.
Okay.
Just wanted you to know that, Ron. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Enough said. So hopefully that continues to improve, and that's what I'm saying. As the vaccine becomes the norm, and you know, I get it that the numbers are soaring as well. So I'm not saying to throw caution to the wind. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying we're on that fine edge of maintaining our own freedoms and following the rules. So we, you know, good luck with where that line is. But we do have to maintain our freedoms as well. We are a free society so far, right? All right. Yesterday, a client was talking about some of the things, too, that they might be doing year end. And I said, first off, let's review the beneficiaries. If you've named your beneficiaries, both primary and contingent, make certain that those beneficiaries are set up properly so that the primary beneficiary could theoretically disclaim for the contingent or to whatever contingents they wanted. If you've named both, whether it's 401k, 403b, regular IRA, Roth IRA, inherited IRA, how many of these accounts can one have? 5 to 7 to 8. Anyway, we see that all the time in terms of what that might look like. So if you've named those beneficiaries, it gives everyone who might follow you, who will follow you at some point, much more flexibility in doing their planning.
Well, and a lot of times people discount the importance of that contingent beneficiary. I think they people usually have or know who they want as their primary beneficiary, but we always encourage people to put that contingent down. And that a contingent inherits in case the primary beneficiary is unable to, whether they've passed away or if they don't want to. And we have been able to, with several of our clients, use that contingent beneficiary in a strategic way where maybe the primary beneficiary has enough or they don't want the tax of the IRA, so they want to pass it on. This is a way that they can do that by using a disclaimer. So not only is it good to have that backup in case something happens to the primary beneficiary, it's also there as a strategic tool to work with the current tax law to get the best result.
Absolutely. Next, check that inherited IRAs, these would be IRAs inherited generally from parents, with multiple beneficiaries are split by the end of the year following the year of the IRA owner's death. So, let's say, as an example, mom passed away this year. Dad had previously passed away. The rules are that each of those, that IRA must be split into beneficiary IRAs in the year by the end of the year following. So let's say it was June of this year. Theoretically, then it would have to be, they would all have to be split out by 12/31 of 21. All right? The year following the year of death, those all have to be split out. And that time can run on by. Right. So make certain that you get those split out to those individual accounts.
So don't procrastinate too long.
Exactly. Don't wait too long to do that. Rollover IRA funds to company plans where the still working exception applies before year end to avoid taking RMDs on those funds next year. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
If you have an IRA and you are 72 in 21, In 2021, if you're age 72 and you have a significant IRA and you're still working, you may decide, now this isn't that well known.
Right.
you could actually, and the plan accepts it, you could actually roll that IRA back into the 401k. If that RMD is too much, requires too much income for you to take. It's amazing how flexible these accounts can be.
Right, so you can avoid that trigger where you have to take it out. But there is another caveat, isn't there, Dennis, about ownership? You can't own more than 5% of the company and avoid that RMD from the company plan.
Can you believe how smart she is, Ron? I mean, she's stunning, isn't it? Yeah, you can't be more than a 5% owner of that company. If you are, then you have to take the distribution at age 72 from that particular 401k. You're not allowed to continue to defer that.
Heidi is the type of person I can tell who reads the fine print.
As she does. Yes. Yes.
And understands it.
Yes.
Yes.
Make sure to talk to your beneficiaries about these issues. And that's why we have beneficiary meetings, to often help with these types of conversations should you decide to want to. First off, post-death distribution options and required minimum distributions. Well, Dad, I'm 41. I'm not going to have to take a required minimum distribution, am I? Well, if you pass away and pass that IRA on to, let's say, Judy, and she's 41, she has to take an RMD, and that RMD means that she has to empty the account over a 10-year period. It has to be emptied by the end of the 10th year after the year of death, okay?
Can she do anything with that money once she takes it out? Can she reinvest it somehow?
Or she certainly could. She could reinvest it. She's got to pay the tax on it. She could reinvest it however she likes. She has 10 years of flexibility in terms of drawing it out, and that's a brand new rule. Just started at the end of 2019.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep all those straight. What year was that again? I don't know. Anyway.
Well, it's also important because I've had a couple of people in lately that they've gotten letters from some of family members who have passed away, and they get a letter saying, you know, this account is about to be turned over to the state because it's unclaimed. And they didn't even know those accounts were there. So letting the beneficiary know where the accounts are can help that account go to the right person.
It's not up to the administrator to notify the beneficiaries if there's a death?
If they're aware of where the beneficiary is, some of these forms from the past, there's just a name. There may be a birth date. Not all the time do they require the Social Security number. So with people moving around and people in motion, sometimes those get disconnected and they don't know. So
end of the year planning, let your beneficiaries know what you have, where it is, et cetera.
Yes.
Who to contact.
Yeah. Yep. What the plans are. And one way to do that is to use the Prout Planner. It is a extensive workbook that you can use for your own records in terms of helping those that follow understand where your accounts are, the coverages that you have, you know, CDs, bank accounts, all the rest, where each of them are held, and the specific representatives who are working with you in regards to the other accounts as well, and where those assets are held. That can be a significant, huge step up for those who would follow you.
Yeah, and it's a good organization tool as well, gathering all your information together in one place. So it makes you do a little bit of homework.
Next, tax rules for inherited IRAs, including setting up properly titled inherited IRAs. Properly titled inherited IRAs? Yeah, you have to title them properly so that they're named properly, so that the tax ramifications are properly covered as well, so that you have that appropriately named non-spouse beneficiary IRA. Okay. Next, estate tax return deadlines. Do your children know that if you had to file an estate tax, that it'd have to be filed 9 months after the date of death? I doubt it. Do they have any idea what the responsibilities of being a trustee is? Most of them have no idea. Most of them know that, well, just to use John and Susie again, John and Susie have been named trustees. Okay. Do they know what they need to do in terms of filing the appropriate forms, taking fiduciary responsibility over those assets, in terms of how do we liquidate these assets? Who do we contact? What tax forms do we file? All those kinds of things. A lot of responsibility. And then do you want them to have the responsibility to split and distribute those assets to the balance of the children, given their particular relationships with each other? And not only the relationships with them, but also their relationships with spouses.
Yeah, and it can become almost like a part-time job for the trustee to get, especially when they're trying to settle everything and move counts out and pay out beneficiaries. It's almost like a part-time job.
It is. It can be for a certain period of time, for sure. And then the tax benefits to beneficiaries, including net unrealized appreciation, 10-year averaging, and IRD deductions, income in respect of a decedent deductions. So if there is a double tax paid on some of these assets, there may be IRD deductions that you want to make certain you're taking advantage of. You, in some assets, you may pay estate tax as well as income tax. In that particular instance, there may be an IRD deduction available. Relatively high flying there, but it's important to know. And if you have taken advantage of NUA or net unrealized appreciation, you owned specific company stock in your 401k, you took it out of the plan, didn't pay any tax on that distribution from your qualified plan except for your cost basis. So let's just say you've got Caterpillar in your 401k account. You worked for Caterpillar for a number of years. You paid for, let's just use an example, $25,000 for that stock, and now it's worth $250,000, Ron. Can you imagine? Not bad, eh?
I want to get a job at Caterpillar.
There you go. Caterpillar. I'm one of the tree friend engineers. So anyway, given that's the case, if you distributed that at retirement, Ron, you would only have to pay the tax on the $25,000 that came out. All the balance of the gain, the $225,000, is not taxable to you. However, if you pass it on to the children, they inherit it at your cost basis and have to pay the gain themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
See?
Mm.
So it's significant tax benefits for those who participate if they take advantage of that. But it's important then for the children to know, if I sell that stock, the gains can be significant. Now, there's not always a bad thing, because if it's spread between 3 to 4 children and at today's historically low tax brackets, Bob Dylan did a huge thing this week. He sold his immense collection of songs. Mm. The financial details were not disclosed, of course, but most commentators estimate the deal is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. One song Dylan did not write was Tax Man.
Nope.
He may have been thinking about that when deciding to go through with a sale. Significant capital gain or low capital gains rates, the top federal tax bill will only be, drum roll please, only be, thank you, 23.8%. 23.8. Now, the top tax bracket is 37%, which effectively could be up to 40.8%, just for ones who want a fine point to it. Thank you, Heidi, for providing the background information there. See, there's
all this
stuff in red.
Heidi just slipped a little info to Dennis there.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
So you're saying Dylan's going to pay 23% on the lump sum that he's selling his...
On the gain.
On the gain. Well,
yeah.
I mean,
well, it's most likely all of it's
all
gain.
All of it, yeah.
I mean, all of it, really. But it makes it much simpler for her to plan in the future. He not only will pay a relatively low capital gain rate, and by the way, this is from Ed Slott. I know you're shocked, an article he wrote. But this is a one-time tax hit. He has effectively exchanged future ordinary income tax rates, which again could be up to 40%, almost 41%, for today's low capital gain rate. That's always a good tax plan. Always. You can't say always very often in this business. But given how low the tax brackets are this year and probably partially even next year, liquidating an asset, there may never be a better time to do that in terms of paying low taxes. related to that.
Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac, I heard, sold the rights to her music as well. So, and maybe a few other lesser-known rockers. Yeah. So they must all have the same accountant.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they have the financial advisor.
Could be they've talked to Ed.
I was going to say maybe they're good friends with Ed.
Their own financial. Dylan Sale takes the entire value of his song selection out of his estate as well. Hmm. How so? It's replaced with gobs of cash, but that is much easier to value. So he's not going to get an argument when the IRS or those that follow. Well, is it worth $100 million or $200 million or whatever is it? I don't know. Well, it's not liquidated yet. We're going to keep it and maintain the royalties. Well, that's where the problems come in with the IRS and its own valuations versus yours, and saves potentially significant legal bills. Hmm. So cash, much easier to value than the value of a relative unknown piece, if you will, of the estate, given his song collection. Isn't that interesting? So significant tax benefits there that can accrue no matter how small the transaction. It doesn't have to be into the hundreds of millions. Could be into the hundreds of dollars, deciding whether or not you're going to do a Roth conversion, whatever it is. Think about today's low tax rates in terms of what they afford you in terms of flexibility. In paying some of it up front, paying it, how did they say that? Paying it as, not as you go, but paying it forward. That's what I meant to say.
So it's like there's a lot of pain in the year when you sell it because you pay that capital gains tax versus taking that royalty income over a number of years and paying those income taxes year upon year upon year. So taking the hit that one time versus...
Yes.
Spreading it out.
Obviously, you have to determine, as the owner, is that value that much greater today versus what the royalties could give me and or the income could give me over a number of years. And if that value continues to, a great example, our home values versus the rental value of that home. If the rental value has stayed relatively stable or solid and the current value of the house has only appreciated, you may say that the rental value is not near compensating me for the current value of the house. So I could simply liquidate the house and get rid of that management responsibility, very simple example, and take the cash and run, and especially if I'm not paying any tax because of that one-time home buyer exclusion, okay? A one-time homeowner.
I think Mark Farner from Grand Funk Railroad was in here a couple of days ago, and he said the artists now, they get paid on streaming as opposed, well, they get paid for radio plays.
Mm-hmm.
But the streaming deal, none of the artists are real happy with because, and he claimed that anything he wrote before, I think, 1970, he's not getting paid for.
Really?
And you have to have a lot of plays on the internet in order to earn just a little money. So I wonder if Dylan basically said, I'll take the big lump sum as it is right now. And
so those pennies on the dollar really are pennies in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Do we have time before our break? Because we want to get tidy talking about year-end.
Resolutions.
Okay.
Resolutions.
Are we ready to jump in?
We are ready.
Heidi, please.
A lot of these resolutions have to do with what we talked about earlier in the show, talking about beneficiaries. So some of these resolutions are things like I will obtain a copy of my IRA beneficiary form. So you could get that from the custodian or you could get it from your financial advisor and just check those and make sure that you have named both a primary and a contingent beneficiary. And if there are multiple beneficiaries, make sure that you have that designated either by a dollar amount or a percentage amount. And if you use percents, it's important that they equal 100 because doing a math error can mess things up there.
You had said someone was adding a beneficiary on an account and was going to neglect without your checking, without changing the percentages that was going to each.
Right. They had five beneficiaries, so a 20, 20, 20. And then at the last minute, she's like, oh, I want to add so-and-so. So she just copied what she had put up on the higher part of the form and put 20. And I'm like, well, that's not going to really work because now we're at 120%.
2020.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Another suggestion is keeping a copy of all your IRA beneficiary forms, or making sure that your advisor has copies on file. Another reason to do this is, say you have a 401k plan and you have a beneficiary form that you fill out for that, but you could change custodians. Your company may switch who is the custodian. Or if it's at a bank, maybe that bank gets acquired. And then all of a sudden, it's a different set of people. And a lot of times, we see this over and over where they can't find the beneficiary form, or the beneficiary is blank, even though maybe they filled it out when they first. And, you know, this could be decades later. So you want to go back and just check those things. So make a resolution.
Yeah, those can wind up being very difficult, especially as those IRA accounts get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the beneficiary that made sense 30 years ago, no longer. Okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Because life happens.
It does.
Yes. It says I will review my beneficiary forms. It's a great idea to do that at your annual review, and just ask for a copy or who's on there, because of those things like Dennis mentioned. There could be adoptions. Someone could pass away. There could be marriages. There could be new grandchildren or something. So you just want to take a look at those. And also,
By the way, we provide that to each of our clients when they come in, a copy of their beneficiaries. That's a separate statement that we provide to them of who's who on that beneficiary list.
Okay? Yep. And you want to do this for every account you have. We'll see a lot of people come in as they're getting ready for retirement, and they have IRAs all over the place, maybe three or four. And to bring them to one place, a good way to do that is to consolidate all these little accounts at one custodian or at one financial advisor, so that you can make sure that you're consistent across the board and that you have all those accounts tracked, so you don't lose them like those accounts that have to be turned over because they're unclaimed. So,
yeah, that's not a good result at all.
So just remember, not only IRAs, Roth IRAs, but you also want to do beneficiaries for your 401Ks, 403Bs, 457s, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
By the way, that state of Michigan situation is called S-cheating to the state. And that time frame where you are not in contact with a financial firm is relatively short now. I think it's down to 3 years. If you haven't had activity with that account, that particular asset could escheat to the state of Michigan. All right? Yeah, so you have to stay in touch.
Is that like with a retirement account here? That's
with any account,
even a bank,
whether
account
it's a stock account, you own stock in, you know, whatever company it is, and you haven't stayed in touch and or kept up with tax filing forms, that sort of thing.
Savings
on that
accounts.
Individual stock, savings accounts, whatever it is. They want to hear from you on those kinds of accounts to make certain that they don't give it over to the state of Michigan.
Right.
Shea Pataja joins us remotely with Shea Stats for this week.
Are you ready for some Shea Stats? Here you go. In the 22 trading days following the November 3rd, 2020 election through last Friday, December 4th of 2020, the S&P 500 has gained 10% total return and set 7 all-time record closing. That's from BTN Research. 2 of the 3 best months for the S&P 500 over the last 30 years occurred during the pandemic. April 2020 ranks number 1 at 12.82% gain, while November 2020 ranks number 3 at 10.95% gain, and December 1991 is 11.44% gain was the second best month. That's BTN Research. An American male retiring at age 65 in 2020 who has earned the maximum taxable wage for Social Security taxes every year during his working career is projected to have paid $741,000 in a lifetime Social Security taxes, but is projected to receive just $533,000 in lifetime benefits, and that's from the Tax Policy Center. Small American businesses, defined as having less than 500 employees, are responsible for 44% of U.S. economic activities, and that is from the U.S. Small Business Administration Office of Advocacy. The number of U.S. operating oil rigs, both on and offshore, was 323 as of last Friday, November 4th of 2020, down 60% from 799 operating oil rigs as of Friday, December 6th of 2019. That's from Baker Hughes. And lastly, another stat about the baby boomers. An estimated 10,800 Americans will turn 65 years old each day next year, 2021. So that's one every 8 seconds. This group represents the 11th year of 19 years of baby boomers turning age 65. An estimated 11,500 Americans will turn 65 years old each day in the year 2029. That is the Government Accountability Office.
All righty. Thank you, Shea Pataja. Welcome back to New Retirement Radio, live in the studio with Dennis Prout and Heidi Thompson.
Great. Well,
those are some crazy stats, Dennis.
They are. Yeah, and what's interesting, most interesting, I think, in terms of those number one and number three returns, let's see, 30 years, two of the best 3 months occurred this year. Isn't that interesting? April 2020 ranks number one. Now, you've got to be going some to rank number one. The markets came down over a six-week period starting in February, basically at the end of March, hit its bottom. And that response was an incredible V formation, as happened earlier this year, rather later this year. So it trying to guess or get out at those times, often you can go ahead and get out or liquidate a portion of the portfolio, but getting back in, you may well miss a significant part of the rise because it's so fast. It's been so fast here. So the response is dramatic, either on the down or back on the up, because the information passes so quick these days. Where it used to take months and years for the market to respond, to assimilate all the information, because it's instantaneous these days, these responses can be incredibly quick. And so trying to guess when to get out and or when to get in often is a fool's errand. All right? Mm-hmm. So set your portfolio so that you can survive the worst that it generally can deliver, so that you can maintain your position. That's a huge part of having success in this, because then you're not missing the immediate turn around. And given that it just happened this year, what a great example for us all.
I have to double check this now. I thought Shea said a male, 65 years old, retiring this year, paid max amount into Social Security all of his career, would have paid $741,000 over his working career into Social Security.
Yes.
And I have written down, I want to double check, is projected to take out of Social Security $533,000, so would take out less than he put in. Does that...
Well, yeah, I'm looking at this as well. An American male retiring at age 65 in 2020 would have earned a maximum taxable wage, which this would have been in 2020, $137,700. Is projected to receive just $533,000. Stated as a 2020 present value number in lifetime income benefits. So that's a present value number where that money has been paid out over a lifetime. Frankly, from a mathematical standpoint, it's not a good stat.
What if that male paid $741,000 into a conservative 401k?
Okay, right. Well, that's another point. Yeah. But let's just go back to that particular one. Now, that payment, and Heidi already knows where I'm going with this, was paid over a 35-year period. That's not a present value. So we're making a soup-to-nuts illustration there. Soup-to-nuts because the lifetime income is present valued, but the benefits paid in is not present valued. So the benefits paid in may be $321,000. Because you haven't taken it all back to 30 years ago and said, okay, I'm paying in, $223 a month or whatever that number was or is, and then present valuing it to today's value. It's over the lifetime of that person having worked, or rather their working years. You see what I'm saying? I'm sure everyone has followed that.
Well, there's a lot of assumptions going on in there, and it makes it a little bit murky.
They've mixed the cream with the sugar in the coffee, and I'm sorry, you can't take it back out for those who have cream in their coffee, okay?
I thought my impression would be that the stat would say that, well, he paid in this much, and he's not even going to get near that much. Or no, that he's going to get a lot more back than he put in.
That's
what I thought Social Security
just because everyone wants to know, I'm sure, what the heck we're talking about.
Dennis
here
has the calculator.
I happen to bring my trusty calculator here today. So if you have $741,000 paid in over a 35-year period, that's $21,171. Now, this is assuming that, and I think this is interesting because we this is numbers, but they mean something, okay? I promise. Mm-hmm. So $21,171, well, let's double check, times 35 years is $741,000. That's the total. If we take that $21,171,
yep,
and take that as a payment, and assuming then that we paid it in over 35 years, and discount it back at a 6% rate, the present value of those payments, just as we were present valuing that other sum over that person's lifetime, what did I say, $321,000? I came pretty close.
Lost.
I'm shocked.
See, the number
the present
is
value is $325,000. So you see,
of $21,000
paid
year,
in over a 35-year period,
35 years,
discounted at 6%.
Discounted.
So you discount it, saying, "Okay, what lump sum would it take me 35 years ago to draw out the $21,171 at an interest rate to provide, you know, to pay in over that period of time?" So we're then making them like stats. We're present valuing each amount of cash flow. So that present cash flow that went in was $325,000.
So I was going to say, the most simple terms you could say is that I put in the equivalent of 331 or whatever you said and took out 533.
Yeah. You know, I never bring this thing with me. I thought today, well, you know, I'll just take it along.
ProutFinancialDesign.com for any more questions or follow-up. As always, Dennis and Heidi, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at ProutFinancialDesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, FinancialDesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.